Well, this is week two in our brand new series, When You Can't, Just Get Over It. We talked last week about discouragement and how did, what did we talk about last week? Life of Joseph, I remember that. This is the problem with leadership conference. You go a whole week and you don't sleep, you know. And we studied from his life how to handle disappointment. What happens when what's going on in your life doesn't match up to your plan, but God means it all for good. And then this morning we're going to talk about overcoming insecurity. Overcoming insecurity. Now, you've got your handout. Grab that. I know we're moving around handouts and bulletins and changing it up on you, but grab that. And then your Bibles, Genesis chapter 25. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, look in the handout. That'll have some verses. And let's go through this study together. Now, imagine as you walk into work tomorrow morning that there is a note there at your workstation from your boss that says, I need to see you in my office right away. Now, how many of you are thinking, man, there's the raise I've been expecting. Done. This is going to be great. Probably not, right? The whole way to the boss's office, you're thinking, what did I do wrong? What did he find out? What is this going to mean? You know, and our mind typically thinks this way. And it may be insecurity. It may be any of those things. Or like at your next doctor's visit, there for the checkup and making sure you're doing well. And he's checking you over. He listens to your heart rate and everything. And as he does, he's kind of and hemming and hawing and making noises, you know. And you're trying to discern, is this good or bad noise? You know, what does this mean? And what he says, and you complete the exam. And he says, you know, I think we ought to run some more tests and maybe an EKG and some stress test and so forth. And you begin immediately to think, you know, how bad is it? You know, am I going to make it through to tonight or whatever the case may be? And certainly, as we face various things in life, our mind, if we're not careful, can run to kind of a worst-case scenario. And it begins to surface the idea that there is some insecurity about maybe what lies ahead in the future. There is some doubt and some worry potentially alive in our lives about what it is that we are going to face. And while we may not face or struggle with insecurity on a daily basis, certainly all of us at times face and struggle with insecurity. Now, to study this and how to get victory over it, I want us to study a not so well-known Bible character. Her name is Leah. We're going to read of Leah in Genesis chapter number 29 and of her and her sister Rachel. And I want to paint a picture, and I want us to understand why in her life she struggled with this area of insecurity. Genesis chapter 29, verse 15. And Laban said to Jacob, now let's stop right there. If you were here last Sunday, remember we studied Jacob and his brother Esau. Jacob and his mother deceived his father Isaac. Esau hated him for it and wanted to kill him. So at his mom's counsel, he fled to their homeland. So now he is here in Canaan. He's working for Laban. Now we kind of come into the story, Jacob serving Laban. All right? Verse 15. Because thou art my brother, so we're family, shouldest thou therefore serve me for not? Tell me what thy wages be. So Laban is saying to Jacob, Jacob, you're going to work for me. I don't feel right you're doing it for free. So let's work something out here. What do you want in return? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. So Leah's the older sister. Rachel's the younger sister. Leah is tender-eyed. That's a nice description for she's homely. Okay? Rachel is knockout, flat-down, gorgeous. Jacob is working for Laban, the father of these sisters. Laban says to Jacob, I don't feel right you working for me for free. What do you want in exchange for your labor? Jacob thinks about that for a moment and says, you know, I've noticed Rachel. She's beautiful. Why don't I work 7 years to earn her hand in marriage? That will be my dowry for her and for our future together. Quite a price, quite an investment. And it expressed how Jacob felt about Rachel. Well, he and Laban strike up this agreement. Say, that sounds good. 7 years, and you can have Rachel's hand in marriage. So 7 years, he's working for Laban, and he's increasing the flock and increasing the fields, and all kinds of good things are happening. And lo and behold, the 7 years are complete, and it's wedding day, and Jacob finally gets his bride, Rachel, the love of his life and the prize for these 7 years of labor. So the wedding day happens, and Laban gives his daughter to Jacob to be wed, and the ceremony is there, and they enjoy their first night together. And in the morning, Jacob discovers that Laban did not give him Rachel to wed. Laban deceived him and gave him Leah, the older sister. Now, if you talk about a veil, I don't know what veil they used back then, but it was a very good veil. I've often thought about how exactly did that work, and maybe in heaven we'll get a little inside scoop on how Laban pulled that off. But nevertheless, it was a really good veil, and they did it, and Laban tricked Jacob and gave him the wrong sister to wed. Now, isn't it ironic that Jacob and his mom tricked his dad Isaac and then got the birthright that wasn't his? And then now he is deceived and tricked by Laban, his father-in-law, and he is given Leah instead of Rachel to wed. Of course, he comes out furious. He and Laban have all kinds of argument. He ends up marrying Rachel and has to work another 7 years, and on the story goes. And we can talk more about that. But let's just pause and think about it from this morning from the perspective of Leah. How would that make you feel? Now, in Bible customs, it was always to be that the oldest daughter wed first. And then in birth order, the girls would be wed. That's how it worked in Bible times. So from Leah's perspective, she's thinking, so what my dad thinks of me is, the only way that I'm ever going to get married is if he deceives somebody. And then after Jacob finds out that he is now wed to Leah instead of Rachel, he hates it. He's running to Laban, all upset, doing whatever it's going to take to get Rachel instead of her, instead of Leah. Think about how Leah must have felt. My dad doesn't think I'm ever going to get married. He's got to deceive this guy to get me wed. And this guy, when he finds out it's really me and not my younger, more beautiful sister, he hates me. I would think Leah probably dealt with some insecurity. I would say there was probably some emotional stuff inside of this girl that she had to work through. But I want us to see from the scriptures in her life what God does to give her victory. So let's dive into this study, how to overcome insecurity. Number one, now let's see the characteristics of insecurity. And we're going to kind of move through this first part a little quickly here. The characteristics of insecurity. What exactly is it that we're talking about? Well, let's look at four characteristics of insecurity. First of all, letter A, the definition of insecurity. What are we talking about when we're saying overcoming insecurity? What are we speaking of? Well, at the root, insecurity is motivated by a fear of losing something we have. Basically, insecurity is a worry that we are going to lose something we have. Something we have possession of, something that is ours, we worry that we might lose it. And of course, this is based in a philosophy of living where we place or sense a great amount of value or worth in something that we can lose. And we're going to learn later, that's a mistake. My worth should not be in the car that I drove to get here. My worth should not be in the suit that I have on this morning. My worth should not be in the home that I left this morning. My worth should be in none of those things, because tomorrow I may not have any of them. That's life. But Leah had her value and her worth tied into stuff she had. And we're going to see in a moment that was a mistake that the Lord had to correct in her heart. And so a worry or a fear of losing something we have. Letter B, notice the description of insecurity. Now, insecurity as it relates to relationships is a result that we fear the relationship might be lost. Pastor preached a wonderful message on a relationship with our Heavenly Father this morning at 8:30. Some of you are going to hear it at 11. You're going to love it. But Leah was in fear of her relationship. Certainly her relationship with her dad wasn't very good. We see the lengths that he went to try to have her wed. We see the relationships with her sister, probably not very good. A real spirit of competition there, as Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Certainly her relationship with Jacob wasn't very good. When he wakes up and discovers that he is with her, he wants nothing to do with it. He wants Rachel. And so she had many relationships in which she was looking for value, for security, and it wasn't happening. In fact, when God gave Leah a son eventually, and his name was Reuben, she said in the scripture, "See, I have a son." And that's what the name Reuben means. And she felt that now she had accomplished something of worth and something maybe that would earn Jacob's love. That while she was married to a man who didn't want her anything to do with her, the fact now that she brought him a son maybe would give her favor in his eyes, would satisfy him in some way, and would meet the need of security in her heart. And because she drew her security from the relationship with Jacob, she was constantly fearing what happens when he leaves, what happens when he doesn't like me, what happens when he has Rachel and so forth. And she learned that it was impossible to find peace and security in a temporary source. There are some elements of your security that only God can meet. One of the great frustrations in marriage is when we expect our spouse to do for us what only God can do. I think a husband and wife ought to strive to do all they can to make their spouse secure in their love and their stewarding of the relationship and so forth. But there are certainly elements that only God can provide that need. And Leah was learning this valuable lesson. But then we see, letter C, the difficulty of insecurity. The difficulty of it. And Leah was learning that she was allowing herself to be judged by what she did and not who she was. It was a performance base. It was like that report card syndrome. It was if she measured up, she might be secure. If she measured up, she might be liked or loved. But if she didn't, she was just going to be thrown to the curb. And Leah constantly struggled with, am I doing enough to be accepted? God gave Leah children much sooner than he gave Rachel. We'll study that here in a moment. And Leah began to kind of take on this persona of, I have to provide children to Jacob so that somehow I can be loved and be cared for and cherished by him. And she always was struggling with this insecurity that if she wasn't doing enough, then she would not be accepted. It was irrelevant about who she was as a person. It was all about what she was doing. But I'm here to tell you this morning that in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, it's not about how much money you and I make. It's not about what position we hold. It's not about how successful we are. When God looks at you and I, to be quite frank, He doesn't even care. God loves you. God accepts you. God values you. And as a Christian, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how far we have been away from the Lord. God accepts you and I. And if we place our faith and trust in Him through His Son Christ, we will be accepted as His child. It's not our performance that brings us acceptance in God. It is God's decision to provide that to us. And we cannot be secure in the life that God has given us to live if we don't understand the grace and love that God has toward us. God's love for you is not contingent on your performance. I am not here this morning in our class and in church to earn God's love for my life this week. I'm not sitting in church with my Bible open and taking notes and listening and kind of hoping, God, I hope I get this right because I hope you'll love me. I already know God loves me. And God loves me with a love that's hard to fathom. In fact, the reason I'm here is because I love God back. And God created the church and God gave His life for the church. And God says, I want you to assemble with other believers and I want you to open my word and I want you to learn and hear of my word and your faith to increase. And that's why we gather together, not to earn God's love, but simply to reciprocate the love we have already received. And Leah was learning this valuable lesson. But we see letter D, the depression of insecurity. The depression of it. The depression of insecurity comes from feeling that you must constantly prove yourself, that every day you're on trial. Every day it's suspect to see how you perform, to know whether or not you're loved or valued or cherished. And those who are trying to prove themselves to gain security, they tend to be very hard workers. They're tenacious people. They're always going, but they're never very pleasant to be around, because there's always kind of this edge that exists inside of them, this unsettled, restless, gnawing void for, I just want to be secure. And I can't be, so I just got to keep going and going and going and going. And hopefully someday I'll find it. And it's this ever-ending void in their heart. Leah understood this pressure. We follow her story in the scriptures and we see this craving in her heart to have children. Not necessarily because she loved the kids, but because she so desired the acceptance of her husband, Jacob. She wanted to perform that she might be received as his bride. And she was trapped. She was trying to stay ahead in a competition that she would never win. And she was suffering from insecurity. But then notice second with me in our study this morning, the causes of insecurity. What brings insecurity about in our lives? Where does it come from? Well, I want to give you three basic root causes. First of all, letter A, parental rejection. The way in which our parents show or fail to show their acceptance reaches into our adult life in a very real way. Again, what if you knew that your father's opinion of you was so low that he would have to stoop to deceit to marry you off? That's where Leah was. And there may be some in our class or some that hear this lesson later on the internet that are struggling from insecurity simply because they have been rejected by their father or mother. And that's what Leah was suffering from. And I would challenge all of us on Father's Day, and all the mothers in the room as well, that it is imperative that we provide for our children acceptance. Your children need to know you accept them. Now, you may not accept wrong behavior, we shouldn't. You may not accept a disobedience, we shouldn't. But at the end of the day, your children ought to know they're accepted by you, that you love them, that you cherish them. And she was suffering from this parental rejection. But then letter B, we see the pain of comparison. Leah was also suffering in her insecurity from the pain of comparison. We see Jacob's reaction when he finds out that he has been married to Leah. He's, get me out of this relationship as fast as possible. Rachel is the one that I want. And this just reinforced the insecure feelings that Leah had. And it was clear that Rachel was who he wanted, and it was not Leah at all. And sometimes people, as they recount their lives and their upbringing, will think about the fact that they are always compared to their brother or sister, and basically their whole life was, why can't you be more like them, or why can't you do what it is that they do? And we recognize this morning we're never going to do enough to gain the love and acceptance that really lasts. That's not what love and acceptance that really lasts is based upon, what it is that we do or what it is that we can earn. Knowing that Rachel was the favorite wife, Leah began to do what she could to secure her position, and that was found in having sons. And she had many of them, and she began to name them, and I think in a way that represented the condition of her heart. We mentioned earlier that she named Reuben, which means behold a son. Then she had a second son named Simeon, and his name meant hearing. And by this name, she felt like God had finally heard her prayer of agony. And eventually a third son born to her, Levi, and that son's name meant attachment. And in essence, she was praying that Levi would give Leah, as Jacob's child, an attachment to her husband and to his heart, and that there would be a need for security met. And Leah over and over and over again recognized, it doesn't matter how much I do, I'm not getting the love and acceptance that I crave. There was this pain of comparison. But then let her see, we see the possibility of loss. We're very likely to feel insecure when we attach significance to what can be taken away from us. Leah was desperately afraid of losing Jacob. Yes, she had been wed to him, and yes, they were in the covenant of marriage, but she knew all too well from the get-go that Jacob really wanted Rachel, and her whole life she was in fear that she would lose her husband. You and I must be reminded this morning, the only thing we cannot lose is our relationship with God. That you and I will have forever. In fact, when Jesus was teaching his disciples along a similar line, he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And Jesus was saying, hey, put your affection on God. Put your affection on the relationship that you have in Jesus Christ. Everything else will take care of itself. But Leah was suffering from great insecurity. And notice with me, thirdly, the consequences of insecurity. What was happening as Leah was looking at life through this clouded lens. Have you ever picked up a pair of glasses and put them on, maybe sunglasses in the car or glasses in the morning, and you could hardly see anything till you cleaned the lenses? That's how Leah was living. I mean, everything she was seeing was through a clouded lens. One of the devil's goals is to pull Christians away from the work of the Lord. He doesn't want you secure in your relationship with God. He doesn't want you confidently living for God. And in the arsenal of tools that he has is the tool of insecurity. And he knows that if he can breed insecurity in our heart, that it won't be long until he's winning some victories against us, because we begin to question where we are in our relationship with the Lord. And there's three main ways that insecurity manifests or kind of shows itself in our life. How is it? Letter A, an intense drive to succeed. Now, unless you and I learn the truth of God's love, we're never going to be able to truly enjoy life. So we have this intense drive to succeed, and we're thinking of our relationships, and we're thinking of our possessions, we're thinking of our achievements, we're thinking of our accomplishments, and we're looking for anything that would bring satisfaction and significance to our life. But the Bible says that our salvation through Christ gives us an eternal home in heaven, and that if we have a relationship with Christ that is secured by God, everything in life beyond that is a blessing and pales in comparison to it. If we've accepted Christ's work on the cross, then we are unconditionally loved and accepted by God. Now, I want to live in a way that pleases and honors God, and I want to work as I think a Christian ought to work, as unto the Lord, and I want to accomplish things that please and honor God, but I don't want to live in such a way that every achievement and every accomplishment and every possession that I can attain is somehow done in the hopes of finally having some security in my life. Listen, everyone underneath the sound of my voice this morning can have security right now. And the knowledge of the fact that God loves you, that you have an eternal home in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you are unconditionally accepted and loved by God. No matter what, no matter how far we wander from the Lord, He still accepts you and I. But then we see it manifesting, letter B, through an inadequacy in relating to people. When we are suffering from insecurity, we struggle in relating with people. We think of the intense competition between Rachel and Leah. And Leah knew that Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved her. And she was determined to get his attention. And the way that she was able to do it was to bear children, and Rachel was not able to bear children. And so Leah was racing, if you will, for the heart of Jacob through the bringing of sons and daughters to him. And the insecurity in her heart grew as Jacob continued to love Rachel. And finally, there was a spirit of jealousy between the two, and discord and strife. And it was a dramatic mess for sure. But if we're not careful about the insecurity in our own heart, and if we don't take responsibility for the way that we treat others, we too can begin to treat others with a sense of jealousy, because we somehow feel like they are threatening on our ability to find security in our own life. And we must be careful to recognize that we're not responsible for the way that others treat us, but we are responsible for the way we react to that treatment. Well, they did this or they did that, and it made me feel this way. Listen, we're not responsible for what they do. They are. But we are responsible for how we respond, for how we respond to that treatment in which we receive. And insecurity affects the way that we relate with one another. Because remember, again, it's caused by the fear of loss. And when we fear like we may lose something, it affects the way in which we relate with someone. It makes it very difficult to trust anybody. Someone who is suffering from insecurity really struggles with trusting anybody because there's some root issues in their heart because they're looking for security in all the wrong places. They're afraid that that person might detract from what it is that they're trying to accomplish. And they begin in their relationships to be very suspicious. They begin in relationships to be unkind and even hostile if they feel like this person is threatening something. And I just want to encourage you, find security in your relationship with God and give people the benefit of the doubt. The minute that I relate with people with my guard up so that nobody can hurt me, you know what that means? It means I'm going to have a really hard time helping people. Because if I truly want to help people, you know what I have to be? Vulnerable to be hurt. Because that sometimes happens. But we want to be sure we have a focus on being a help to people. But then you know what else insecurity can rob us of? Letter C, the inability to focus on blessings. The inability to focus on blessings. Insecure people worry about what they have and what they might lose and how they're being mistreated, and they don't really see the good. Think about Leah. Leah was so worried about earning Jacob's heart and competing with Rachel that while she was having these sons, it wasn't a gratitude to God for the gift of life. It was a reminder that she had to do more to earn the acceptance and love of Jacob. But God reminds you and I in James that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. And insecurity, if we're not careful, can keep us from realizing how much we have been given. Listen, if I die today, I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven, and that is undeserved. If Gabe got what he deserved, I would spend an eternity in hell. It is only because of God's love. It is only because of the gift of Jesus Christ. It is only because of his finished work on the cross that I know that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. I am blessed and I am thankful for that. And I am to find my security in my relationship with God. And so let's notice as we close number four, the cure for insecurity. Now, how do we get victory over insecurity? Let me give you four basic steps very quickly. Letter A. Understand the purpose of God. Understand the purpose of God. Now, God made you just like you are. God made you the way He wanted you to be. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, success is finding God's will and doing it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Can I remind everybody in this room this morning, you are a designer original. There's nobody like you. You are specifically and specially created by God. That is who you are. You say, Brother Rule, I don't think so. Take that up with God. Because God says, while you were in the womb, I knew you. And I had a special plan for your life. I have a purpose for you. Don't let your insecurities rob you of the fact God has a purpose for your life. And one of the ways to get victory over it is to recognize the fact God made me. God's giving me breath because He has purpose for my life. There's something He wants me to accomplish. And letter B, we must understand the passion of God. How do we overcome insecurity? Recognize God has a purpose. That's why you have life. But understand the passion of God. Can I remind you of something this morning? If you were the only person alive on planet Earth, God would have sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ would have come to this place and would have died on the cross and would have shed His blood for you. God displayed His love through the gift of Jesus Christ. And that was done for you. Brother Rule, how valuable am I? You're worth the life of the only begotten Son of God. That's your worth. That's how much God loves you. And if we're going to overcome any insecurity that there may be in our life, we have to recognize the passion of God's love, the proof of His love, what He was willing to give so that you and I might be bought back. And we're not special because of who we are per se, but we are special because of the price that was paid to buy us back into a relationship with God. The passion of our God. A man once said, people need to know three things. Number one, you are worse than you think you are. Number two, God loves you anyway. And number three, you can't fix it, but God can. That's a good principle for living. You're worse than you think you are, but God loves you anyway. And you can't fix it, but God can. There's always hope with God, the passion of God. But then notice, let us see, understanding the promise of God. Understanding the promise of God. How do we overcome insecurity? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. And while the way we live determines our blessings, it doesn't change the love of God for you. You might look around the room and say, well, look at what they're getting. Look at what they're getting. Look at what they're happening. Well, they might be living an obedient life and you may not be. Blessings always follow obedience and curse follows disobedience. But that doesn't change the fact that everyone in this room is loved. Everyone in this room is equally loved by God. That is true. The amount of blessing you're receiving is dependent upon you and your obedience of the Word of God. That part is up to you. But we must understand the promises of God. And then as we close, letter D, see that we must understand the provision of God. The provision of God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as the divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. Simply put, that God has already given us everything we need, for this life, and God wants us to accomplish victory through His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to earn it. It is simply given to us by God's grace. Now, in the life of Leah, she goes through insecurity. She goes through a terrible relationship with her father and with her husband, Jacob. But at the end of her life, Genesis chapter 29 and verse 35, and see this as we close. The Bible says, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. The very last child that God gave Leah, she got it. And it wasn't any longer about, what do I do to get Daddy to notice me? And what do I do to get Jacob to love me and accept me? Finally, it clicked in Leah's mind. And she says, God, I'm sorry. This whole time that I've been hating life, you've been loving me and blessing me with children. And I finally got it. God, as you give me Judah, I just want to praise you. And I want to name him in a way that reminds me of your goodness. And I want to encourage you this week as we live life, let's not focus on the areas we don't have. Let's focus on the goodness of God. And this week, instead of stressing what it is in our life that's making us insecure, let's focus on what God is doing for us. And we can follow these steps and find victory over insecurity. Heavenly Father, we sure love you and we thank you for some time in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would cling to your promises. May we see your provision. May we know that you love us. You've accepted us. You've purchased us back to a relationship with you. And may we thank you. May we praise you. And may we follow the biblical principles that we might overcome any insecurity that is alive in our heart. Bless our class this week, I pray. Watch over them and bring us back safely next Sunday. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.